guided by a master plan for complete domination of the Earth.
Ahoy! Yo-ho-ho! You be listening to Paranormal Hotline! Come with us now on a voyage from the shores of sense over the waves of the weird to the far-off beach of bizarre. Every week, we do an episode on the paranormal, and that is what you're listening to right now. My name is Ushin, and I'll be your captain for this short cruise. I'm joined by my co-ghost, loyal mutineer, and the saltiest sea dog, Kaylee. Kaylee, how are you?
Yo, I'm good. How are you? You're very chirpy today.
I'm flying it. I'm doing well. Has anything spooky happened? You have to say sorry.
Oh, I do have to say sorry. Yeah. I totally forgot. Yeah, in last week's episode, we actually got a comment about the sea bomb that I dropped in the middle of the episode.
In good spirit, I'm sure. But just in case.
But I just forgot that's like not a word people generally use outside of Ireland and like Australia, maybe Scotland.
Where it gets used a lot.
Yeah, very casually.
Affectionately too.
I didn't even realize I said it until I saw the comment. So I apologize for that, cunt.
Anyway, anything spooky happened to you?
Anything spooky?
Anything weird?
No, I don't think so. I was trying to think there. No.
Okay.
I could have sworn something spooky happened recently, but I can't remember it, so.
That's okay. Nothing spooky happened to me either. I saw Dune Part 2 last week. Thought that was great.
Ooh, did you like it?
I really liked it. It's pretty good. Also, hugely important while it's thing, and also like to instantly date, but make a little snapshot of what happened. Godzilla Minus One won its Oscar.
Yeah.
For best visual effects. That's what we're here for.
Yes. Really deserved it.
Really did. Really did. That was like my whole investment in the Oscars this year, which, you know, is sad because we had an Irish win as well, so I was invested in that too, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. The first Irish person to win Best Performance.
Yep.
Is that the category? At the Oscars? So, that's pretty cool.
Hey, fair play to good old Killian. Bit of a legend.
I did not expect that on this episode, to be honest.
The Oscars?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, this is actually my segue, so back off.
I'm expecting like a cryptid that like looks like the Oscar award been cited or something now.
Hey, look, I was trying to talk about Godzilla and then, you know, turn into that.
Fair.
Because Godzilla is a sea creature and a lot of that film is on about ships in the ocean. And so we will follow that thinnest of threads. Let's talk about a legend about a ghost ship.
Ooh, I love a good ghost ship.
They're pretty cool. We've covered the Flying Dutchman, which is more of a phantom ship, but, you know, it's all the same genre.
I would say it's in like the category of ghost ship though, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think we've mentioned the Mary Celeste too before, but we did off air at least. That's probably due its own episode too.
Yeah, definitely.
This particular episode is about a ghost ship called the Jenny. It's a schooner of... A schooner? Is it a schooner or a schooner?
I can't remember.
It's a boat. And has quite a chilling tale, so let's get into it. On the 14th of February, 1841, Bohemia Ein Unterhalt und Blatt published an article called The Ship in the Ice, A True Story. And that seems to be one of the earliest, if not the earliest, recorded account of a ship called Jenny. That German name, by the way, means Bohemia, an entertainment magazine. I think the magazine was from Prague.
Oh, cool.
So it has an article which gives an account of a whaling ship named Hope, which was sailing beyond Cape Horn, which is part of the Drake Passage. And Drake Passage is like, it's between Cape Horn, South America, so down the very south. It's the body of water kind of there, Chile, Argentina.
Oh, cool.
Also then the South Shetland Islands of Antarctica. So it's like really, really south. It's up on the Antarctic.
Oh yeah, I'm looking at a picture of it. I can see it.
So it's considered one of the most treacherous voyages for ships that they can make because it's like so open. Huge waves can form.
Oh really? Whoa.
Yeah, so like, you know, 40-foot waves. And also just like the amount of water flowing through that area is huge.
Yeah, it's a weird looking area, right?
Mm-hmm. They say it has the roughest seas in the world. And over time, estimated about 20,000 sailors have lost their lives there, and it has more than 800 shipwrecks.
Oh my God, that's a lot.
So, as the story goes, at 9 p.m. on the 22nd of September, 1839, Captain Brighton and his crew found themselves in the middle of a chain of icebergs. They had been chasing a whale. While the sea was getting stormy, they had somewhat lucked out in that they had come across like a basin of calm waters. But he ordered the crew to keep an eye out, or whatever you keep out for like the midnight breeze. It was sort of a doldrum situation. But so they wanted a breeze so they could turn the ship and leave that basin because they were risking and they were afraid of getting caught in the ice if it was to surround them because they'd be stuck there for the winter.
Oh, right, yeah. That makes sense. God, that is terrifying to think of, actually.
Yeah. At midnight, the wind picked up and it brought a flurry of snow. They heard a loud crack like thunder, and the crew were terrified because it was like it was essentially the sound of the movement of the ice starting to break. The Hope was getting shook from the ice masses, and it was difficult to find a safe spot. An anxious night passed. By morning, the storm had subsided, and the crew was relieved to find their ship largely undamaged. They were amazed to see the once tightly packed icy mountains now shattered, forming the sea into what looked like a desert archipelago. Towards midday, the watchman in the masthead shouted, "A ship at sea!" At first, some icebergs floating between this ship and the Hope prevented the captain from seeing more than the mastheads, but soon the hull came into view, and Brighton was amazed by the strange direction of the sails and the miserable appearance of the ship. The rigging was astonishing. The vessel sailed fleetingly in the wind a distance and finally hit an iceberg. Soon the crew of the Hope noticed the strange ship was abandoned, but Captain Brighton decided to launch a boat. He boarded it with a few sailors and rowed quickly over to the ship, curious. As they approached, they saw the ship's hull, seemingly weathered by time or numerous collisions with ice, but the deck was deserted, buried under an incredible amount of snow. Brighton called out to the strange ship several times, but got no answer. Just as he was about to climb aboard, he spotted an open gate. Through the window panes, he glimpsed a man seated at a table with writing materials and pens. The dim light in the room prevented Brighton from seeing more.
This is a freaky story so far.
Yeah, creepy. Folks, if you're enjoying the podcast, please consider supporting us on Patreon. We're an independent podcast, so we do all the research, writing, and editing ourselves, and our Patreon helps us keep up with the cost of running a podcast every week. If you're listening in each week and enjoying the podcast, consider supporting us. If you can't afford it, no worries. You can help us out for free by rating the podcast wherever you listen to it. Captain Brighton and the sailors accompanying him didn't hesitate to climb onto the deck, but first they had to clear away the thick layer of snow covering the trapdoor of the cabin. With a mix of anticipation and fear, they descended into the cabin below. Their first stop was the room where the captain had seen the man sitting. When they entered, they were terrified. The man sat there, unmoving, not noticing their presence. He did not return any of their greetings. A man took a few steps closer to him and saw that he was without life. A thin, greenish mold covered his forehead and cheeks and clouded his eyes.
Oh my God.
He appeared to be around 30 years old. A quill lay beside his hand on the table, with the ship's log open in front of him. The last passage in the journal read as follows. 17 January 1839. Today, it is 71 days that our ship has been trapped between the ice. All our efforts were in vain. Last night, the fire was extinguished, and all our captain's efforts to light it again failed. This morning, his wife died of hunger and cold, as did five of our sailors from the crew. No more hope.
Jesus Christ, that is dark.
Yep. It gets a bit icky from here on, so here's your warning.
You can tell it's an Oisin story anyway.
Captain Brighton and his sailors were forced to leave the horrible place after such a sight. As they entered the main area of the quarters, they noticed the body of a woman lying on a bed. Her features still held the freshness of life, but the contorted position of her limbs suggested the agonizing torment she endured before death. Sitting on the floorboards at her side was a lifeless young man, holding a steel in his right hand and a flint in his left, next to a can of tinder. From here, the captain proceeded to the crew's quarters at the bow of the ship. Several sailors were found dead in their hammocks. In a corner under the stairs, a dog was discovered frozen to death.
No.
Not a trace of food or fuel could be found anywhere. Captain Brighton, hindered by the superstitious fears of his crew, couldn't conduct the thorough investigation of the abandoned ship that he wanted to. However, he did retrieve the ship's log, which contained a detailed record of its journey since departing from Lima. The vessel was identified in it as Jenny of the Isle of Wight. With a heavy heart, Captain Brighton returned to his own ship, deeply saddened by the sad spectacle he had just seen, and by his examination convinced anew of the incredible dangers to which all ships are exposed to if they venture too far into the inhospitable Arctic Ocean.
Well, that's terrifying.
There you go.
That's really scary.
It is, yeah, really
it
scary.
Yeah, it is. I don't like that at all. I don't like how they're basically preserved there because they're frozen as well.
Yeah, it's a wonderfully atmospheric and gothic story.
Yeah, it really is.
Just the descriptions, which I didn't change too much from the German. There's several different accounts as to what happened next. After that, so some of them go that like the crew of the Hope gave the bodies like a proper burial at sea, but like that one was saying that they were just too disturbed and they just left.
Yeah.
And you know they're you know still frozen. Ooh, the ghost ship might be still out there.
I mean, it'd be amazing if it was, wouldn't it? If it was like frozen into an iceberg or something.
Yeah, there's a few different versions as well that give like a different year in the log. So the other one is like 1823.
Oh, right, okay.
So then the take on that would be that it's missing from 1823 to 1840. So like a ship has gone missing for 20 odd years. Well, almost 20 years.
Oh, okay.
Some of the other ones I've seen reference to the crew, like having members of the crew frozen on deck, which is such a cool visual. Like, you know, they see men on deck and they're like, oh,
yeah,
here they are. And they get closer and they're not moving. Whoa. They're frozen.
That's freaky. I don't like that. God, that'd be terrifying.
So as far as I could see of the Jenny, the article in Bohemia is like the earliest copy of it, let's say. But then it was kind of republished a lot across a bunch of these German magazines in that same sort of time. Then it got republished in a magazine called Globus, an illustrated magazine for countries and ethnography, in 1862. An article about what was happening at that time was like the McClintock Arctic expedition, which was to go search for Franklin's lost expedition, which happened earlier. That was with like the HMS Erebus and the HMS Terror.
That's a really cool name.
That's a separate thing altogether. But like in 2016, they found these ships.
Oh,
that,
wow,
had been missing for like... yeah, that this is separate. This is a tangent now. That was like in 1848. Like that was when the ships were abandoned. They had set off in 1845, but like they got stuck in ice and they were abandoned. And then they went missing. But they found them in 2016, or one of them in 2016. They found both of them since, or what they reckon to be both of them. And they've been sending like underwater robots to go. Like,
that's so cool,
them.
Man.
Yeah. So that's really cool. However, so neither the magazine story in Bohemia or in Globus, neither of them really provide a source for their story. It's safe to assume that Globus is republishing the one from Bohemia or from that time of publication. And it's probably likely that the original author took it from like an oral telling or tradition. But aside from that, there is actually no record of the Jenny, the Hope, or a Captain Brighton outside of the sledge, like in English records, which there
would have been records of the boat at least.
It is also really similar to another legend of a similar sort of situation with a ghost ship from like 100 years earlier, of a ship called the Octavius. And like that has a frozen man with a pen, and it's also sighted by a whaling ship, but it's by Greenland, so it's like the other side of the world.
That's also a really cool name for a ship, though.
The Octavius, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great name.
I think any sort of name you give a ship just instantly makes it cool by merit of it being the name of a ship.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, even if it's like an ironic name, I think it works.
I'd have a stupid name for a ship, I know I would. And I'd immediately regret it after I've named the boat. Do you ever do that with like a username for like a game you're playing? You'll pick the username and then like a day later you'd be like, why did I pick that name?
I know. And then you're stuck with it because they don't allow changes.
Yeah, no changes.
There's like, especially with like the crew on deck, if you're going for that story, it's like, what could have caused that? If we are to like, you know, go like, oh yeah, it's not a legend, this actually happened.
Yeah.
Like a flash storm that just froze everything or what? Like, you
flash
know, or
freeze?
People, like,
I don't know.
Like a flash freeze or like we're like, did they just not notice the cold? Was there something weird going up with them? Or they just stood there, you know?
I don't know. Yeah, that's really cool. Well, interesting, like...
Yeah.
Because like for a long time, they didn't believe that rogue waves would happen.
Yeah.
Isn't that a thing? And then and they actually found them on like Google Maps when they were looking at it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if like a sudden extreme drop of temperature could happen and just like almost like flash freeze everything.
One theory that I saw written on the internet was that like, you know, potentially they got, and this could have maybe also account for the 20 years of time difference sort of thing, was that they just got teleported.
Oh.
And when they came back, they were in a much colder place than they expected they'd ever be.
Right.
Or ever prepared to be. And that's why they froze. That's a bit of a stretch in my personal
opinion.
That
is a bit of a stretch, yeah. That's just like making it science fiction without like any basis for it.
Hey, it's the Antarctic, right? That there's aliens there.
Yeah, there is, of course.
Yeah.
It's terrifying, though. Hmm. But what? Because like even if it is like a legend... Like, legends usually have some basis something that happened, you know? So I wonder if something like that did happen and then just kind of, you know, somebody found, like, a dead crew that were frozen, but maybe not in those positions, and then the story got changed over time, you know?
I would not doubt it for one second. Getting stuck in the ice, like, they were talking about being... Like, that's one of the most terrifying things I remember, because... I think I've talked about it before. I have talked about it before, is the Endeavor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Antarctic expedition.
You've talked about the Endeavor before.
at length.
But they found that boat recently too, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah.
That's so cool.
But the scary thing about that is it wasn't even like they froze, like they didn't freeze to death, but what, like, the ship, the ice, like that, what's worse than like your ship freezing is like the ship being crushed.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it that's happens terrifying. Over time, luckily, so you can evacuate. But yeah, why sail a boat into cold place? You know, don't do that.
Like, there's boats that are built is for it nowadays, you know, the ones that can, like, well, for a certain amount of ice, they can kind of go through
the icebreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I definitely wouldn't choose to do that.
But then you see pictures of like where these places are and it looks so cool and so beautiful.
Yeah. And they have like these really cool stories and yeah. There's just so much weird shit that happens in the cold.
Yeah. I was looking at I was looking at bits and pieces for this and like references to the Drake Passage. And it was like, you know, travel guides. And I was there like, oh, that would be sweet now. Look at that. Oh, I'd love to go do that. And then I had to read back over my notes and go like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Do you do the same thing when you're looking at the Bermuda Triangle? You're like, whoa, look at that glossy water. Beautiful beaches.
Yeah.
Like, Oisin, no. No, Oisin.
You can't. You can't.
People die there and you will definitely die if you go there.
Oh, I would. We don't do it for like weird rural America, though.
That's true.
We're ready at the drop of a hat. Yeah.
It's pretty cool, though. So there's never any ship that's been called a Jenny or anything like that, you were saying?
Not with that description, no.
Right.
From that time, it doesn't show up.
Yeah, I definitely reckon it's somebody found a ship and then the story kind of changed over time. That's what it seems like to me, anyway.
I think that's likely, especially with the way that it kind of echoes the other story.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, it's an old sea dog's tale.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. It's freaky.
Yeah. Yeah, because after this fact, like after it was published in these ones, it did like travel further from there again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it did.
You know, it published elsewhere, especially when it started being published, like the story spread.
It's a real like campfire story as well, isn't it?
It really is. And I can see why, because like, it, pun somewhat intended, it is a chilling description.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's almost like I was going to say Scooby-Doo, but it's probably a bit dark for Scooby-Doo, to be honest.
Scooby-Doo gritty reboot.
Yeah, where they're sailors.
Yeah.
I really like that. I think it's such a good story. It'd be so cool if somebody found a boat like that, though, wouldn't it? Imagine, like, you'd have everything just trapped in time.
Isn't that ghost ship film?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen that movie?
I've only ever seen the start of it.
Oh, yeah. It has one of the best opening sequences. Ghost Ship, I think it's just called, isn't it?
It's gnarly as all.
Yeah, I remember watching that when it came out when
hell.
I was a kid. And
as
I was
all
like,
heck.
Oh! That's one that, yeah, that freaked me out. Very good movie.
Yeah, I'm afraid of high tension cables.
Yeah. Didn't even know that could happen, to be honest.
There's this long ass dramatic poem called The Ship of Ice by Rosemary Dobson, which is about the Jenny.
Oh, really?
It has like and it's like, it's in multiple parts. So it's kind of, looking at it, it's like meant to be read as like a short rhyming play instead of like, you know, one reader, let's say.
Oh.
So I'm not going to bring back Poetry Corner today.
Aww.
No, it's too long and I can only do one voice at the moment. But if you're that sort of weirdo that wants to, you can look that up for yourself.
If you're an Oisin, go look up the poem.
If you're an Oisin, we have to fight to the death. There can only be one. I don't make the rules.
Like if they're Oisin personality-wise, but okay.
Oh, fair. Okay, that's allowed. That's the case, let me know. We can talk about everything.
You've got Poetry Corner. I've got Corner. It's all working out.
We're here serving. That's all we have time for today. If you like the podcast, suggest us to your friends and family. We'd appreciate that. If you have any personal ghost stories that you'd like us to read on the podcast, send them in to us at paranormalhotlinepodcast@gmail.com. Or if you have any stories you'd like us to cover, send us an email or shoot us a message on any of our socials and we'll get back to you on it. Thanks for listening. Till the next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye.